guys.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the show that, well, let's just say we actually have a solid finish.
Well, okay, look, not every week can be as high as a stellar as it was the last 3 or 4 weeks. We went back to what Rick Skyia called, and excuse the language here, gay spooky. You know, it was Rick Skyia, by the way, from Online Onslaught, one of the best wrestling sheets on the web that is no longer with us. But, yeah, not so great. However, we had a very good finish on SmackDown this week.
After 45 minutes of epic fail.
Oh, wait, whoa. SmackDown wasn't that bad. You know that the WWE always does wrestling wedding crap. It always is craptacular. If you know that going in, you know what's going to happen. That's my theory. And I'm
right.
Sticking to it.
And, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the panelists who you just heard debate SmackDown a little bit. We'll get back to that shortly. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to the man who's shooken hands with three of the greatest people in mankind. Alex Trebek, Regis Philbin, and Gordon Pepper. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Block.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and I'd like to get in a bit of a plug here for myself. This coming weekend, on Game Show Network, there's a special called The Making of a Game Show, Catch 21, which will be on Saturday at 4 p.m. and Sunday at 2 and 10 p.m. on GSN, and I was involved with that as well. So it's going to be fun. Watch, please.
I'm actually looking forward to this show.
Well, what, the one we're doing now or the one you're going to watch on Monday?
How about both?
How about it? Okay, let's go on.
And, ladies and gentlemen, a person who has, he's talked to various famous people in his life, such as Chris Decker, Dr. Claw, and, well, just mainly nobody outside of WrestleCrap. Ladies and gentlemen, VRM.
Thank you, everyone. I figure you're getting a plug-in for yourself. I'll get the plug-in for myself out of the way right now, so you don't have to worry about it later, Rob.
Right.
At this point in time, we are currently up in the air for a show this Wednesday, the WrestleCraft Sports Digest, where we'll discuss Rocco Mediate leading or pretty much in a good spot to win the British Open. The 10-game streak that just got snapped for the Mets and the upcoming football season.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the football season. I actually have a solid fantasy team all lined up. Yes, I'm a geek. I play fantasy football.
So do I.
And by the way, Jason, you forgot to plug one important thing of yours.
Which is?
Block Party.
Oh, that is right. That is correct. My own website, which is blockpartypodcast.com, the leading game show news and analysis for the internet, which is a sister site of GameShowNewsNet.com, which is the best game show news site, bar none. Steve Beverly be damned.
Actually, not to get off topic, it's supposed to be a wrestling show, but isn't he closing down in August?
Yes, he is, August 1st.
And now we're just down to two game show sites, GameShowNewsNet.com. And Buzzer Blog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, we're the best. No offense to anybody, but we are. Anyway.
Yes, no offense to Alex Davis, who is a really good friend of mine.
Well, Alex is a good guy, too. He's also a friend of mine, too, so I can say that with love.
Now, let's talk some wrestling, shall we?
Let's.
How about we start off with Victory Road?
Ah, Victory Road.
Hold on. I need to do two things. One, close the door. And two, Turn off crappy chain reaction. God, Dylan Lane is worse than the Inquisitor. Anyways, let's move on.
Well, I mean, Victory Road was basically, it was the example of why Vince Russo was no longer booked into the WWE. Well, at least partially, anyway.
Right.
When you go in with two people, with Booker T, a heavily favored being in Houston, and Samoa Joe basically flipping off Sting, basically either turning heel. I mean, you didn't know where anybody was going with it. It just seemed inconclusive. And
you're right.
And stupid.
Just have him just randomly beating up everything that just steps into his path, and without any kind of bell ringing or signal, any kind of stop or anything, and then Charmel comes in for a 1-2-3, you're like, wait, what just happened? This wasn't Extreme Rules. Booker's not the champion. Why is he celebrating like he is?
Exactly. But we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about that later on, but let's get through the rest of this, the rest of the pay-per-view. First match was World X Cup Elimination Match. Now, this was a great match.
Yes.
Team TNA consisting of The Guns and Curry Man. We had Team Japan, which was Puma, Masato Yoshino, and Milano Collection AT, complete with Invisible Dog with a collar or chain. Team Mexico, Ultimo Guerrero, Rey Bucanero, and Averno. And Team International, Alex Kozlov, the Dancing Fool Tyson Dew, and Doug Williams.
Now, I did not necessarily see the pay-per-view. I'm going to go see Hard Justice, by the way, in Trenton next month, live. So I will have live thoughts from that when I go on. But isn't it ironic that Christopher Daniels is doing better under a mask than without it? That's Curry Man.
Yeah, that is ironic.
Because Christopher Daniels is, by the way, one of the top five workers right now in the business today. Period. End of story. And he's just, you know, but they gave him, what, about 20 minutes to just basically blow away, and they did?
Right. And let's not mention, we actually got to see a couple of, I believe, one of the most greatest to look at finishers since the Canadian Destroyer. Doug Williams' Chaos Theory.
Which is what?
Rolling German suplex.
Okay.
Let me explain. He goes like into a victory roll into just like this hard Zangief-esque German suplex.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pretty to look at. You're like, whoa, how in the hell did he do that?
Okay, well, that's good.
You should see it for yourself. I think Doug Williams has a contract with TNA. I think they're going to start to face him, I think, next month, right after the Hard Justice pay-per-view, or a little bit during.
Okay.
I believe he's got a contract. Team TNA won. They got 3 points. Team Mexico got no points. Team Japan got 2. And Team International got 1.
I was rooting for Team Japan in that with Masato Yoshino. He was the inspirational story for that match because, I mean, he got pounded on for, like, what was it, a good 10 minutes?
Yeah, a good 10, 15 minutes. He was the last Japan guy in there.
He was the last guy to be eliminated.
Yeah. Now we get to a knockouts. Then we get to a knockouts grudge match between Gail Kim and Angelina Love. Gail Kim beats Angelina Love. After the match, the beautiful people double teamed him, and Kim managed to sneak out and avoid getting a DOS paper bag treatment.
Yeah, here's the deal. You know they were building up to this a lot with the whole rough cut thing. But did anybody really care about the match itself? Not really.
No. No.
Sorry. Can't make us care if it's just not there. You know? Can't do it.
Well, they do have history together, but yeah, this thing is kind of dragged on about 2 months too long.
And the only good thing to come out of the entire beautiful people thing so far is Angle losing his cool in the locker room and shouting at Angelina's face, "Screw your boob!" That's about the only good thing to come of it so far.
First of all, I do like the beautiful people as a tag team, by the way. I like them as a very good heel tag team. They work, you know. I honestly speaking, though, just as a general thing, and then we'll go back, I think 2008 has actually been the resurrection of women's wrestling here in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Without question. You've had,
yes.
You know, you've had 2008, had a great year in TNA, especially with Awesome Kong and with all the knockouts of TNA. And honestly speaking, the women's division in both the WWE parts is pretty good, too. You can't deny it.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better, actually. We had a grudge match. Sanjay Dutt getting the surprise victory over Black Machismo Jay Lethal.
Again, do I care? No.
No.
You know, if you just let these people work and get rid of the gaga that goes around it.
SoCal Val?
No. That, well, first of all, SoCal Val, I'm a fan of redheads. No offense. She's great looking, but no, I'm just talking about the general gaga. Just the general BS that's around it. Dutt and Lethal are spectacular workers. Let them work. You know?
They did, what, 8 minutes, 26 seconds, the official time. That's not... And then the ending was a little...
Yes. Well, I have a feeling they're going to build up this feud to, I would like to say, Bound for Glory. But realistically, I'd rather have it end at Hard Justice. Get Black Machismo Jay Lethal back as X Division champion. Petey Williams, great talent. This Maple Leaf Muscle gimmick has done wonders. I mean, it's made him known again. Sure, he's little Petey Pump, but there you go. Oh, by the way, next one, Fans Revenge Lumberjack Tag Team Title Match. There's only been one Fans Revenge match before, but TNA was smart then. They actually used plants. They used stuff from Dory Funk Jr.'s Bang School.
You mean these were actual fans?
These were fans.
Oh, my God.
What? They didn't...
I am glad I did not actually pay attention to this match.
Why? What did they do wrong?
Everything.
Okay.
Anyways, we'll just say LAX wins. They still have the belts. Now, TNA Knockouts title match. Far too short.
Now, I have a quick question for you. How did Taylor Wilde beat Awesome Kong a couple weeks ago? I did not see
all
that.
Right.
Grow up.
I know. Kong went for a spinning back fist. Taylor ducked and picked up a roll-up for the three.
Okay.
You know, that's a classic Kong telegraph right there. Two punches, then the back fist.
Well, as I said, she's a big girl. And honestly speaking, there are very few people who can win by losing, and Awesome Kong did that.
Yeah.
You know.
She did. Sorry, go ahead.
She's just one of those few talents that really can do no wrong right now. You know? So it's one of those things where... you know, Awesome Kong, you know, Taylor Wilde wins again, correct?
Yeah, she wins. Awesome Kong, then Raisa Tai just goes nuts. And for those who don't know, Raisa Tai equals cheerleader Melissa. Just goes after, rolls her back into the ring, tells Kong to beat up on her. Oscar Kong threatened to awesome bomb Taylor on top of a chair, you know, standing up chair.
And then the siren goes off.
Abyss makes the save. Kong went nose to nose with him, and she's like, not right now.
Which will probably lead to a match at Hard Justice, which I cannot wait to see. If they pull this off, which I think they will, okay, Russo is just ballsy enough to do this. This will be, I think, one of the most talked about matches on the card.
I'll buy that.
I cannot wait. I want to see this match. I want to see Kong versus Abyss.
Are you going to... Jason, you're going to Hard Justice. I know you said that at the top of the show. VRM, you told me before that you're going to... Are you going to Hard Justice as well?
I'm debating it. I'm not sure.
Come on, man. Kong versus Abyss. That's worth the ticket right there.
Well, no, it's debating buying or not. It's debating making a trip from Bergen County down or not.
Okay. But I'm telling you, man, if they do this, because Kong versus, well, first of all, I believe, didn't Abyss actually black hole slam Raisha Saeed, correct?
Yes, he did.
Okay. So that's good. Like I said, going to lead to Kong versus Abyss at Hard Justice. Mark my words, it's done. That's what's going to happen. And boy, people are going to talk about that match for a bit.
You got it. World X Cup Ultimate X match. One of the, you know, supposed to be the pinnacle of the TNA X division, the Ultimate X match. Velado Jr. for Team Mexico, Kaz and Team TNA, Naruki Doi from Team Japan, and Daivari from Team International.
I heard Kaz is just a crazy nut job in this match.
He is.
He's gone nuts now because, and we'll get to that once we talk a little bit about Impact, where we discuss the full fledging out of his new character. But Kaz choked.
Yeah, the big spot of the match was Daivari climbing, how would I say this? He has his legs strapped over the top rope, and he's grabbed onto the rope. He's climbing across this Kaz is on top of the scaffold. He jumps off and drops a big leg drop, takes himself out, takes Daivari out, and then Volador Jr. is able to climb up, and with everybody else down, he is able to get the X.
Which gives Team Mexico the 2008 World X Cup.
Oh, wow.
That was awesome. That was a team that deserved it right there. And now, you might say to yourself, that sounds like a great pay-per-view right there. Aside from Fans Revenge. Here's where it goes downhill. Six-man tag team match, Team 3D and Kurt Angle versus Cage, Rhino, and Styles. We got Full Metal Mayhem.
Which is basically what?
TLC.
TLCC.
Okay.
Tables, ladders, chairs, and chains.
Okay.
And you win by pinfall. Brother Devon, they were going for a doomsday device. Devon landed wrong and twisted his ankle pretty bad.
Well, okay.
Okay, so that was a legit. So that was a legit injury.
It was legit. On Impact, you can notice see Devon have like a noticeable little limp. The ending of the match, which will set the tone, AJ Styles was on top of the ladder, about ready to give Kurt Angle, I believe, a frog splash, or what he normally does off the top rope. But Frank Trigg, aka
Kurt Angle 2.0,
right, whacks him with a kendo stick. Kurt Angle climbs up, gives climbed up against Styles the angle slam off the ladder through a table and gets the pin.
So they're leading
Trigg versus Styles,
right?
That's a match I wouldn't mind seeing. Trigg versus Styles at Hard Justice. You know, it's like this. Okay, at Hard Justice, it's you versus Frank Trigg. If you beat Trigg, you get me at the next pay-per-view.
At Bound for Glory.
No surrender.
Okay. Which is going to be in Toronto, they just announced. Very cool, by the way.
I think our colleague, Trista Timpson, will probably be seeing that live. Because I believe she lives in Ontario.
And I believe they're holding it at like a 10,000-seat arena, which I think is pretty cool. The GM...
TNA is starting to get up there when it comes to arenas, trying to fill up the 10,000-seaters.
Let's see what they do with the Sovereign Bank Arena, how much they fill.
That's the venue for Hard Justice, right?
Yeah, which is about 13,000, I believe.
13,000? I'll make a prediction, say 8,000.
That wouldn't be too bad.
No, not too bad at all. Here we go. Crappy ending number one. Booker T and Samoa Joe. Charmel was intended, cheering for her man. I think she was on the sidelines. Slaps Joe. Joe destroys Booker T, three referees, a bunch of security guys. Oy. Joe had Booker in the choke submission when the legendary Sting made an appearance because he was out there. He was nuts. Sting tried to take control of Joe, and since he had proven his point and told him that it was time to leave, Joe started to leave, but ran back in the ring and went after Booker T again. Sting jumped back inside the six-side ring while Samoa Joe flipped him the finger.
That was just stupid.
Yeah, he gets a baseball bat to the dome. So Charmel places Booker's arm over Joe's test and counts 1, 2, 3.
Grabs the belt, goes off, pay-per-view ends. Dumb.
Play it.
But believe it or not, that was not the dumbest ending of this week. I'm sorry.
Far from it. Actually, I'd rather have that ending over the ending to Monday Night Raw.
God.
What with this train wreck? I mean, this was like watching an Attitude Era Raw from 98-99.
Which is not a bad thing. Okay, because if you are we discussing Raw now? Have we switched?
Yeah, we're switching to Raw, but first I want to clear up two things, which are the dark matches. Just restore them quickly. D'Lo Brown's getting a dark match, and yes, it's confirmed from Nikki Haman, who's at the Charleston House Show, Charleston, West Virginia House Show on Saturday. He is using the original Real Deal music.
Cool. Very good.
Yes.
He defeated Mike Stryker, and Charlie Haas defeated some jabron by the name of Jeff Lewis.
Okay. Now, actually, this opening was brilliant in its execution. I love it. Because Shane and Stephanie are both on there, and they both are pleading again for to restore order and chaos, you know, restore the order in the chaos as Vince recovers. And as soon as the camera comes off, you see Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels beating the crap out of each other. Absolutely brilliant in its execution. You got to give that, right?
And then out comes Kane.
Right, who says, "I'm sorry." Okay. And he's carrying a bag, which, by the way, I have an idea after reading a few places and basically thinking my idea, and I happen to agree with this. What do you guys think is in that bag?
The mask.
Exactly.
I have a better idea.
No, it is the mask, because he's dealing with his inner demons and the old, he needs to go back to his old kick-ass self.
Yes. And then after that, Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho and Lance Cade brawl some more. And after that happens, one of the referees decides, oh, crap, we got to get the show going. He goes down to the ring, and we have a nice little women's title match.
Mickey James versus
Katie Lee.
You know, not bad. Not bad. Still Mickey James. Mickey James wins, but then So then Katie Lee attacks Mickey James from behind. Kofi Kingston, who, by the way, looked like he needed to have his belt because his pants was falling down, if you noticed that.
Yeah, we noticed that.
Okay. And then Paul Burchill comes in to save Katie Lee, and we have an impromptu Intercontinental title match.
I thought it was Burchill was holding Mickey so Katie could beat the crap out of her. Then Kofi runs down with his pants at his knees.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
Kofi wins! With an impromptu IC title match, Kofi Kingston beats Paul Burchill. And then Kofi and Mickey do the foo, foo, foo together.
Proving that Mickey James is still white, yes.
Well, what do you expect? She's sort of dating Cena. That's about as white as you can get.
Well, then what do we have?
A couple of backstage segments. Santino making a open challenge to the locker room. We're going to get to that in about a minute. King shows up and says, "Where is Punk?"
Did you try the Pepsi machine?
That was great. That was a great line. Have you seen it by the Pepsi machine? That was a great line. Great line.
And then he grabs the Tums. He's like, eating them like Mentos.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Santino Marella is a funny guy. Absolutely brilliantly funny. The funniest guy on wrestling today, right now.
Brilliant character. So we have the Kane. Confronted Punk says, "Deep down inside, I know he's dead." Who are you talking about? Kane says they have been partners before, but he needs to wrestle Punk tonight. Punk agrees.
Which I like. I like that. That was fine. You know, Punk showing that he's the fighting champion and all that sort of stuff, by the way, which will set up later on what I'm going to say in my bash predictions.
Yes. Then we have a John Cena backstage interview. Fast forward. Santino's open challenge.
Oh, this was lovely.
And it was Beth Phoenix, and yes, he jobbed. And yes, it's great. Let me tell you something. I'm sorry, Santino. You know, I think, as The Rock says, he knows his role. You know he's going to be comedy fodder, and he's comedy gold every time he's on the mic.
Right.
Great stuff. Really great stuff.
Let's continue. Kelly busts in the ring for her scheduled match. And then the Young Guns say, "Hit the bricks."
Yes, and again, they cut a very good promo here, but the only thing that bothered me about it was when, of course, Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes out.
Oh, God, here we go.
Okay. He cuts a promo about saying, showing respect and all that sort of stuff, but then the Young Guns, you know, the Priceless, second generation, whatever you want to call them, basically lay into Duggan and call him a joke. For the most part.
Well.
However, Duggan just looks there like a lost puppy dog. If I were Hacksaw Jim Duggan, I would be swinging the 2x4 and then get laid out. I think it was a missed opportunity there.
Oh, yeah, big missed opportunity there.
No, seriously.
And then they keep on. Yeah. Then just a big lame ass comes on. Oh, I mean JBL comes on the big screen, offers Rhodes and DiBiase the opportunity to team with him in the main event against John Cena in Crime Time. JBL stroke the ego said to be the first of many main events the two would be involved with. Naturally, they accept.
Again, I'm liking the way Cena and Crime Time are rubbing off on each other, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's bringing up, you know, Crime Time, and Rose and DiBiase so far haven't really impressed wrestling-wise, but as on the stick, they've been gold. So, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. We get to the CM Punk versus Kane non-title. CM Punk beats Kane by countout because Batista spears Kane and crushes Kane's skull with a chair shot to the head, so Kane couldn't get back into the ring.
Wait, that was after the match.
Oh, that was after the match? But CM Punk beats him by countout.
Right.
Yeah, then Kane snaps and starts throwing chairs into the ring. Puts a chair around Punk's neck. And he's going to, like, dive off the top.
Did he choke slam him?
No.
Okay, I thought he did. Oh, well.
No, Batista then came in, got rid of Kane, helped CM Punk to his feet. Punk offered a handshake to Batista. Batista refused, but told Punk he only sent him so he could take the belt on Sunday. You have something that I want, and come this Sunday, I'm going to be taking it back.
And then, ugh. And then Punk...
Then Punk shoves Batista.
Bad move.
And then Batista does the old spine buster and, you know, leaves Punk lighting.
Right.
Which, by the way, again, sets up the most obvious finish for Sunday, which, by the way, is a very important match. I think it is the most important match on the card this week.
Okay, I'm going to quickly breeze through the rest of this because it's not really interesting. Well, this one's kind of interesting. Jericho versus London, you know, sort of like preaching to Paul London, don't follow Shawn Michaels' path. Everything that he's taught you at his school, follow my path.
Yes, the path of evil and all that sort of stuff, yeah.
Right. Jamie Noble's trying to hook up with Layla. He'll become the power couple of Raw. Layla says she does date short men. Then Gene Stacy shows up and told Noble to keep the noise down, shuts his mouth. Layla pushed Noble's buttons, and Noble called Snitsky out to the ring. Bad move! Snitsky just utterly destroys him.
Yeah, go on.
And here we go. Just when you thought the finish to Victory Road was bad enough.
Yep, this was the worst ending to Raw in a long time.
I would say this qualifies for worst ending this year. I think I'll roll this one. Worst ending since the end of the Attitude Era. December 2001.
Yeah.
This is it.
No. There have been a lot more than this. I'm just saying that this was just absolutely dumb, stupid, not based in reality. You know, the main event was over. I believe Cena and Crime Time won, correct?
By DQ after Bradshaw just broke up the STFU.
Okay.
I mean, Eric Watts could do a better STF than that.
Okay. So then Cena follows JBL, and he knows he's going out to the parking lot. JBL whacks him with a tire iron, if I'm not mistaken. Correct?
Crowbar.
Yeah, after 5 minutes of Cena looking around trying to find him.
Right. JBL lays Cena against the car, gets into his Crown Vic. I know this stuff because I'm a car geek. And, you know, prop Cena up, and basically, if it was real, Cena would have his blood spilled. spattered all over the car. But since this is the WWE, he miraculously, for some reason, rolled out of the car, his car's path, which was going at a good 20, 30 miles an hour. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Dumb, stupid, bad, just... yeah, it was just dumb.
And fully deserving of this.
It was pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
VRM, do you agree?
Yeah, it was horrible. The one funny part about this is when Cena fell over. If you remember, after JBL props Cena up, Cena droops to the left and falls over, and then JBL has to come back and prop him back up again.
Yeah, that was funny. Okay, so what happened on ECW?
Not much on ECW, to be honest with you. We do have heel Tony Atlas.
Which I'm liking so far.
Yes. Tommy Dream, he does this challenge about bending pans. You know, skillets.
And spent a good 10 minutes making sure it was, proving it was a pan.
And so Tommy Dreamer grabs one, starts to bend it, bends it a little bit, but then he says, "Astro,
I'll just bend it a little bit too." The fan bends it a little bit too.
Yeah, and well, Tommy Dreamer just says, "Screw it, I'm gonna do it my way." And just knocks over Mark Henry. He gets ejected. I'm going to say, this match was just mainly hyping what happened on Raw and hyping up the pay-per-view. However, we did get a good, solid Evan Bourne match.
Match Vidal, baby.
Yeah, Shooting Star Press for the win. Mike Knox beat Shannon Moore, Kel Surprise. Hardys beat the in-crowd, Morrison and The Miz.
Well,
in a very good match.
Well, you know, they've been doing it before. You know, let's just keep on do that. That's fine. I'll take that. And then we get to the wedding reception. Oh, do you want to go to Impact first?
I'm just gonna. If you guys allow me, I'm just gonna quickly breeze over Impact. You know, the big high spots.
Yeah, we gotta get through it.
Okay, I'm done with the high spots. Let's move on. SmackDown. Yeah.
You had the wedding reception of Vicky and Edge, which last 15 minutes were pretty damn cool. You had a very
yeah. It's just the other 1 hour 45 that I find mind-boggling.
Yeah. I only saw the first 30, but I could tell it was fail.
Well, it got better as time went on, but
You had the big first of all, you had Hornswoggle and Finley versus the Hawkins and Ryder in tuxes, with Edge as special guest referee. Edge speared Finley, I believe.
And, it was Finley,
and then yeah. Hawkins and Ryder get the win. Then you had the Big Show interrupting the first dance as husband and wife.
Yeah.
And then they go for a four-on-one. Right, exactly.
MVP Shelton Benjamin Kozlov and the Great Khali. I mean, Kozlov and the Great Khali, that would have been enough.
Yeah.
And Kozlov has this new theme out, but bleh. Then we get the throwing of the bouquet. Cherry catches it.
Yes, but before then, Michelle McCool was ejected for fighting with Natalya.
Can you blame her? Those two will be fighting at Great. I believe those two will be fighting at Great American Bash.
For the butterfly belt.
Oh God. Here's what I got to say about that belt.
Whoa!
I mean, that thing is uglier than the big green egg on The Price is Right. Or the ceramic Dalmatian on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, so Sherry catches the bouquet, but then she has a match with Natalya, where she quickly submits to the sharpshooter. And then she has a match with Eddie Guerrero, God rest his soul, sorry, Vicky Guerrero.
And just simply pins Cherry to win her match. Ugh. Then we get Brian Kendrick with a brand new look, brand new jacket, brand new gear, and a big black bodyguard.
Yeah, who is that guy, by the way?
I think that's Al Barone, but I'm not quite so sure. But let's move on. He did get the pinfall with sliced bread number 2. So at least he's retaining his old finisher, which is good. That's actually a decent finisher.
Yes, but is he turning heel?
Yes, he's turning heel.
Okay.
Because Wang is face. Yeah, he started to show arrogance, actually started to get booed a little bit. And this is kind of, it was a missed opportunity.
What do you mean?
There was no build. I mean, last week he had the parachute pants on and he was face. Now, heel. No build.
I will agree with you that.
Yeah, it was bad. So just no build, that's bad right there. But the match in itself was actually pretty good. Umaga beats Kennedy. Umaga blocks the mic check and gets the Samoan spike. Then Edge is showing the new Slim Jim commercial. Oh, my God. I hope they don't turn Edge into a savage.
Okay, I'm sorry. I found that funny.
Yep. Then we get the in crowd defeating Jesse and Festus. Miz wins with the reality check. All right. Then we get Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy. It's ordered by Vicky, which probably already softened them up so the Edgeheads could win the belt. And no contest when La Familia just comes in and beats the living crap out of them.
After they basically throw the cake. You forgot about that.
Yeah, they threw the cake before the match.
Yeah, which is why they beat him up.
Oh, yeah. I had a feeling they were going to... Even if they didn't throw the cake, they would have beaten them up anyways.
Not sure, but anyway.
Okay. Then we get to a cutting edge. Edge tells Vicky how much he's in love with her while a video clip shows them all over each other. I wish I had a throw-up sound for this.
Yeah, okay.
Then Triple H comes out to ringside with a gift. This, my friends, saves the show.
Yes.
Triple H shows me Edge putting the moves on the wedding planner. Now, let me explain something a little bit. This would have been done a few months prior, but Crystal quit.
Who is this, by the way?
Oh, God. My mind says Rocka from FCW, R-O-U-C-K-A. But I honestly don't know who it is. Vicky starts to... And then Vicky goes into another classic tantrum. However, let's be honest, the first one beats it by a mile.
Yeah.
But remember, he built it slowly. The wedding planner was not into it. You saw
right, it was a slow.
It was a beautiful slow burn. Okay. Well. Beautiful, you know, really slow burn. First one, she's not into it. Second one, he's rubbing his neck. Third one, it's about the scent. Then the fourth one, he lays lips. Oh, by the way, he shows granny panties, which were, good God. Okay.
Oh God.
Okay.
Oh. Typho, host of Tuesday Night Typho on the WrestleCraft Forum Radio Network, jumped in and says, Kendrick's probably got his Raekwon Stevens from FCW.
Okay. Big boy. That's a big boy.
He is a big guy.
Yeah.
And now, let's see if this sound works. Yes. We have two callers. Caller, hello.
Who goes first?
Hey, Trista.
Hi.
You're just in time. And hello. Next caller, hello.
Hello, it's Force.
Hello, Force.
So what are you talking
You're
about
all in right? time, because it's time for pick'ems. We only have about 14 minutes left to show, but we only have 7 matches. And guess what? DJ is not here.
New champion.
Therefore, we take the belt from DJ and we will have a champion. If I do catch up with DJ before the show, I will ask for his picks. 8 points in total in this go-around, okay?
Got it.
Right.
Let's start. Divas Championship for the Epic Fail-looking championship.
Whoa!
Shut up, Flair. Michelle McCool versus Natalya. Who wins? Fourth, go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, I think that they might want the next Mrs. Taker to start pursuing it. So I think Natalya's going to win this month, and the next couple of months it will be McCool.
Trista.
I'm pretty sure Michelle McCool is going to win this, just so they can push her as, like, the first Diva champion. Technically, she is only a Diva because she was in the Diva search, but I'm pretty sure she's going to win this, which breaks my heart.
Jason Block.
The next Mr. Taker is going to win this. This is about politics. They want to make Mr. Taker happy.
VRM.
I'm not going to go with the politics route. I'm going to go with Natalya by sharpshooter.
I'm saying Michelle McCool wins because, when you have a title, a new title, and it's just out there now, you want to have a face to build it up. You know, Knockout title did it with Gail Kim. They'll probably do it with Michelle McCool. Next match, Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho. Let's start with VRM this time around.
This one's going either way. I'm going to say that, I forget, who won the last one? Did Michaels win the last one?
I think Michaels did.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go with Jericho because I think Michaels now is 2 up on Jericho, so they're going to give the third one to, I'm going to go with Jericho on this one.
Jason.
This is going to be the match of the night, bar none. I think Jericho is going to win this big time because he's going to prove that, you know, the lying does not, you know, the lying and the cheating doesn't work anymore. Jericho is going to win.
We go to Trista.
Go, Jericho, go.
Fourth.
I think Jericho's going to win after Cade gets involved.
I'm going with Chris Jericho to win this one. John Cena versus JBL in a New York City parking lot brawl, which is a rehash of the Iron Circle match from 1999 with a whole bunch of cars all around the parking lot. You could read about it at WrestleCrap.com. It is the new induction. We will go to fourth to start us off.
If a crown Victoria can't beat Cena, I don't think a 7-foot Texan on Mama Juana can do it. I'm going with Cena.
Trista.
Wasn't Cena in one of these already against Eddie Guerrero?
Yes.
And they haven't mentioned that?
Nope.
That is the stupidest move they could make, honestly. I hope Cena wins. I hate JBL a lot. Good Cena.
Jason Block?
In a match no one gives a really rat's rear end about, Cena wins.
VRM.
How many times are they going to make JBL job to Cena? Was this number 4 or 5?
6, to be honest with you.
6?
And it's going to be 6 because Cena's winning. We have the Fatal 4-Way WWE Tag Team Championships. This is a 2-point question. Who wins and who takes the pin? I mean, who either gets pins or tapped out?
All right, who are the 4 teams?
In crowd, they're the champs, Morrison Miz, Finley Hornswoggle, the Hardy Boys, and the Edgeheads.
Wrong. Jesse and Festus.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Hold on, let me check. Is it just...
It's Jesse and Festus.
I take that back. Yes, it is Jesse and Festus. The Hardy Boys would have made this a much better match and at least interesting.
I don't think so, actually.
And let's start the predictions with VRM.
I'm going to go on the long shot with Jesse and Festus because Festus is definitely more... I think Festus is more over than Hornswoggle at this point. And his gimmick is... They're going to put a belt on him just to build him and Jesse up a little more. So I'm going to go Jesse and Festus.
And who gets pinned?
Pin will be one of the Edgeheads.
Edgeheads, okay. Jason Block.
I'm going to go with the Edgeheads pinning Jesse and Festus. How's that one for you? I think you need to have one belt in the La Familia camp, and that's where it's going to be.
Okay. And it's kind of interesting, heel champion straight to another heel champion.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, Trista, go ahead.
I'll go with the in-crowd pinning Hornswoggle, because midget violent is really funny.
And we go to 4th.
I've been calling this many times. I've been failing many times. I'm going to call it one more time. The little bastard will pin the Miz.
And guess what, 4th?
What's that?
I'm agreeing. However, it's going to be Hornswoggle pinning one of the Edgeheads. I think they're due for a nice short title run.
They might just get it.
Now we get to the title matches, the big ones. ECW Championship, Mark Henry versus Tommy Dreamer. Do I really need to ask this question?
No.
But let's just get it on the record.
All right, formalities, VRM.
Tommy's gonna get his ass kicked.
Jason.
Tommy, unfortunately, is gonna get squashed like a bug.
Trista.
Go Tommy.
Boo!
Are you serious? You're going on the record.
Well, I don't know. I don't watch ECW. I'm going on the record. Tommy Dreamer. Eat it.
4th.
If the ring doesn't collapse from all the weight, I'm going to say Henry wins.
4-1. Henry wins in the match. I think this is the match where nobody cares about.
Yeah, I think actually there might be.
Match. Or not.
And Trista, how close are you to Toronto?
I'm about an hour south.
Will you be going to see No Surrender?
Absolutely not, because that is 2 hours away from me, and it's actually in Oshawa, which is not in Toronto. It's just like a suburb of Toronto, so no, I will not be attending. They just like I was reading about it, they just said they're going to Toronto because Toronto sounds better than Oshawa, and people know Toronto more than they know Oshawa. So there you go. TNA's lying to you. It's not in Toronto.
Well, they've lied to us before, by location anyways. World Heavyweight Championship match. CM Punk versus Batista. Let's go with fourth this time around.
All right, Kane's going to get involved. That's pretty much a given. The question is, how exactly is Punk going to retain? I'm going to say that I'm probably going to say he loses by DQ.
So Batista wins by DQ.
Yeah.
And Punk retains the belt. Trista.
I'm going to go with Punk on this one, with hopefully a cheating win, because I really want to see him turn heel, because he's an excellent promo cutter as a heel. And WWE needs that right now. Badly.
Let's go with Jason Block.
CM Punk is the future. This is the most important match on the card, because if they turn the belt to Batista, they have no faith in Punk. However, I believe that Punk is going to retain, even with the Kane influence, there's going to be a pinfall. Punk is going to let Batista's going to job to Punk with a pinfall.
VRM.
They just gave Punk his belt. Even with all the infinite title shots in the world, it's not going to go back to Batista anytime soon. It's going to be Punk.
Punk's winning. Punk's winning by DQ. But Punk's winning. I think Kane will bash Punk's head in, thus giving him the win by DQ. And there you go. Last match of the night, WWE Championship, Triple H versus Edge. This one can go either way. Let's start with fourth.
I think it's too early for Triple H to drop it since coming on to SmackDown. I think he's going to defeat Edge, but I don't think the feud's going to be over from here. Like, odds are, I think he's going to do something to cost him the match, probably where we'll hear the Undertaker's ominous bell.
Trista?
I'm going to go with Edge to no surprise because I love him.
Trista follows her heart.
I don't watch SmackDown either.
Well, what time does it appear in Canada? It's got to be late at night.
No, it's 8 o'clock Friday night. We used to get it a day early, so we'd be watching and be like, welcome to Friday Night SmackDown. It's like, actually, it's Thursday. But they stopped that after like a year, and we get it Friday nights at 8 o'clock as well. It's just DCW that has the fucked up time slot.
Jason Block?
What I think is going to happen, believe it or not, is what happened on the house show. Vicky is going to interfere and spear Edge, causing Triple H to win the belt. And it's going to blow the roof off of wherever... it's going to blow the roof off the Nassau Coliseum. Trust me on this. Triple H is going to hold the belt at least through the full premiere of SmackDown.
VRM.
Spoiler alert. Triple H has the title at SummerSlam.
It's common sense, bud.
How do you know this?
The poster.
Okay.
And... yeah, I'm saying Trips wins. Trips is going to hold on the belt until... I'm going to say SummerSlam. Where he's going to lose it to Edge. And then at the fall premiere of SmackDown, October 3rd, My Network TV. Trips gets his belt back. That ends the predictions. Oh, hey, that ends the show. Boy, an hour sure goes by fast when we're talking crappy endings, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Trista Forf, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
You're welcome to stick around because we got the archive stuff we're going to talk about. I have a couple of rants I want to get on. And we'll talk other news on the archive section. So for your live listeners. Thanks for listening for Trista, Forf, Jason Block, VRM, I'm Robert Solomon saying good night. Good night.
Good night.
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 Okay, we're into the archives.
I will be right back.
You'll be right back, VRM?
What?
I hope he doesn't hang up because he can't call back in.
What?
VRM?
He's still up. He's still here. He just probably put the phone down. Anyways, I'm going to hold off on more on the week until he gets back because he's a big MMA guy.
Uh-huh. Are you going to talk about the MMA versus the UFC versus Affliction tomorrow night?
No, this is more on the week segment.
Oh. Oh. Oh, yeah, him.
But first off, what I'd like to talk about is the combining of two wrestling dirt sheet things.
Okay.
Figure Four Weekly and The Observer are merging as one.
Well, that's been around for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So?
And it's kind of sad to say because normally I could hop on the WrestleCrap forums where I normally hang out and get to read some Observer stuff. Now, I can. Plus, I don't want to fork over the $20 a month to read the, what, $5, $10 a month to read it?
Well, I mean, I pay $7 a month to read PW Insider Elite to make it ad-free, you know? And that's fine by me because I get the audio hotlines and I get the, and I have no problem with the subscription-based service because depending on the source, there are only, in my opinion, only three legitimate wrestling news sources, which are the Observer / Figure Four Weekly, PW Insider, and OneWrestling.com. Anything else, sorry. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I understand. I will enter in Raja. Raja may or may not have any interest whatsoever.
And I'm back.
Thank you, VRM.
Welcome
hey, VRM.
Back.
Oh, by the way, listen to this. As we know, Scott D'Amore is leaving the company. Leaving TNA.
Right.
Which led to one of the worst sights that we ever had to see in TNA history. Thankfully, it was blurred.
What was that?
Scott D'Amore and Pat Kenny, a.k.a. Simon Diamond, were trying to calm down, you know, beer money. I mean, you would think that Scott D'Amore and Robert, they're tight. They go back, you know, to Team Canada. And what happens is, whap, whap, whap. And one of the belts hooks D'Amore's pants.
Uh-oh.
Down they come.
And is he going commando?
Yes, he is.
You've got to be kidding me.
They show
we
that?
We kid you not.
Don't they have like 2 weeks to edit this shit out?
No, 2 days.
When you
not
have
enough time.
When you have 2 days and you can't even edit that out, you know you have to get a new editing team because that's something else entirely.
Moon over Canada. Sorry.
And guess who's going to be filling his void?
What, is the road agent?
Yep.
Dean Malenko?
Nope.
Damn.
Savio Vega.
Okay.
It's,
And where's your source for this particular?
ProWrestling.net.
Okay.
Online reports earlier this week that TNA has hired Savio Vega to serve as a new agent. However, the buzz backstage was that nothing was official at the very least. Company officials did not make any formal announcement to the rest of the staff regarding his hiring. However, Savio goes way back with Dutch Mantel, who has a lot of power within the company. Be a logical hire on TNA's part, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens because there wasn't much buzz about it backstage beyond people talking about it in the internet reports.
Now, quick question.
Yeah.
Do you think we will see Jeff Jarrett back on TV?
He says he would come back around 2009.
I know.
Basically, Angle's in Jarrett's role until then?
I'm sorry?
No.
I mean, honestly speaking, you know, if Jarrett never came back, I wouldn't forgive him for it, especially after what happened. You know, losing his wife to cancer.
Yeah, that.
The same day that Owen died, she passed away on May 23rd as well.
Oh, man.
Who did?
Oof.
Jarrett's wife, when she passed away, it was May 23rd, which is the same day that Owen's heart passed.
Okay.
As if that wasn't already hard enough on him.
Oh, yeah.
So she passed away in 06 or 07?
07, I believe.
Okay. So
07.
Yeah.
He tried to be happy about it when he came back at lockdown, but then his wife died, and he was like, oh, my God. So that's why you saw him job to Robert Roode. I think this was at... I forget, was this at Sacrifice or was this at Slammiversary where he jobbed to Robert Roode?
I have no idea.
A second.
Sacrifice or Slammiversary 2007.
It looks like it's going to be Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yeah, it was right around that time.
So, yeah, I mean, so, well, okay. By the way, I work with Pat Kenny. Nice guy. Really nice guy. Good guy to work with, Simon.
Pat Kenny. I like Pat Kenny. He needs to be back on TV. I want to see Simon Diamond back on my TV. Get a new Diamonds in the Rough stable going. You know, Skipper was fine, but David Young's been a jobber ever since 90-whatever.
So you wanted to talk about some MMA stuff, right?
VRM knows about this. Trista, for, I don't know if you know about it. I told you, Jason Block.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Moron of the Week.
What a knucklehead!
Would that be Edge for getting back with...
Yeah.
No.
Don't hit.
First line up. Hello?
Yes.
Everybody still here?
Yeah.
I'm here.
I lost my switchboard, so I have no sounds and no way to tell if who's still on or not. But we'll press on. It happens.
Trista, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can still hear you guys. First one up. Quentin Rampage Jackson.
The former UFC light heavyweight champion.
Yes, who has it now? I believe Chuck Forrest does.
Forrest Griffin.
Forrest Griffin.
And by the way, supposedly a very good fight.
Yes.
It was a close one, but that's not neither here nor there. We're talking about what happened on Tuesday. And
yes.
Oh,
this is unforgivable right here.
just
what
stupid.
He does. He got arrested for attempted vehicular, was it attempted vehicular manslaughter?
I don't know if it was. No, it was. Here's what it was. Booked on suspicion of felony reckless driving and felony hit and run, striking several vehicles. No, it does not appear that there are any manslaughter charges or anything. But here's an interesting fact. When he was first, when the cops first saw him driving down, he was on his cell phone, and on the car, his truck had his face painted on it.
Oh my goodness!
This isn't just a regular everyday driving truck. This had his face on the side.
Oh man, I would laugh if it also had his name. Did it have his name?
Yes, it did.
Oh man,
that is grounds for moron of the week right there. And he got arrested. He was in the pokey. Dana White came in and bailed him out.
Aww.
Okay.
And at first they were saying that he was medically unfit to commit.
Okay.
With the crime was
going
to
his... punch him out.
Was he unfit to commit the crime or unfit to commit to his obligations in USC?
Unfit to commit to staying in jail. That's what the Orange County Jail said. He was medically unfit for them to hold.
Uh-oh.
So you're saying he went Looney Tunes?
Yeah, he went bonkers.
I blame the steroids.
And I think this turns into a public relations nightmare for UFC, as if they don't have bad press to begin with.
And this is their second moron of the week within a month. Or
yes.
At least a month of us knowing about it.
Right. The first one was that UFC Ultimate Fighter idiot who thought he was... Yeah!
Oh, man.
Only guy to get kicked off after the show.
Oh, my goodness. These guys, they're going nuts. They're getting kicked off shows or smashing into vehicles. I don't even want to know what's going to happen with the next guy.
I don't want to know either. But if Dana White was smart, and he is a smart guy, otherwise UFC would probably have been dead a long time ago. You have to sever ties with Quentin Rampage Jackson. Nice that you paid his bail, but you tell him, get some help. And once you get better, we'll try to help you out. But for right now, we can't book you on the shows. Just disappear for a while. Don't do anything stupid.
Well, let me ask you this on a related subject. I know you're talking about moron of the week. But seriously, you know you've got a free UFC fight tomorrow night on Spike, along with Affliction banned on pay-per-view tomorrow night. What's going to
yes.
draw more, do you think?
UFC.
UFC, because it's free.
Okay. Even with the good, you know, with the good fighters on the card.
Right.
Even with Fedor versus Sylvia's main event, UFC is free. And that is what matters. It is free.
Okay.
Moron of the week number two. Now, anybody who has talked to me over the past year or so knows when one certain commercial comes on, I go ape shit.
Palinko?
No.
Ow.
These fucked up, piss poor, super annoying truth commercials.
Oh my goodness. I think they probably make CM Punk want to smoke.
Okay, go on.
Right now, well, they had this, a few years back, they were bearable. They had this certain commercials that actually educated people.
Right.
About stuff. Then they started to get a little hokey with Splode. But they still educated people a little bit about it. You know, it was interesting, it was kind of cool. But now they just got stupid. And it's gotten to the point where it's like, oh my god. This is bad. This is WCW Thunder bad.
Yeah, they are bad. But I still think I actually think the more moronic commercials are the spicy side myself. And the Axe commercials. Yes, you spray on this cologne and it'll get you laid.
False Axe smells horrible.
Yes, that's why I call it ass, because that's what it smells like.
Right. As I was saying about these commercials, you know, they break out with this stupid song and dance number. And it's like, oh my god, where's my gun? And I'm Elvis, the TV.
The show ain't no good.
Huh?
Remember on The Simpsons, he goes, this show ain't no good, and he shoots the TV.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing that.
Yeah. And right now, I thought they couldn't get worse with the little baby commercials.
Oh, man, that ad was stupid.
It gets worse. Here's the worst one of them all. Tough Love.
Oh, man.
it's bad.
I mean, yes, I get that smoking is bad. However, the way that you're going about it is...
It makes the people that want to smoke take you all to fucking court to leave us alone. And with the fucking people that make you can't smoke in public. Rotten bastards.
Who the hell is yelling in the background?
That's my mom, Mrs. Seidelman.
Okay.
Hi, Mrs. Seidelman.
Who thinks Keith Sutherland is the sexiest person alive, and if it's not him, it's John Force.
Hey, now, I don't like John Force that well. I think his daughter's kick ass.
Anyways, moving on. The song and dance number is bad. You know, if they just tell people, hey, smoking can kill you. Here's what's wrong with it. You're like, fine. It's like a PSA. You know, sure, some of them are stupid, but they're actually making sense a bit. But they go on this stupid song and dance number like, tough love, best love them all, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, man. Makes me wish an old man went by and said, stop taking all that acid, you morons.
I honestly believe that the people who create the Truth commercials are on acid.
I'm sorry, but most of those commercials on WWE are just wrong on so many levels.
Tonight they had an anti-pot ad. I didn't get the message, but it was just some guy who had like 10,000 shirts with different drug-related messages, takes them off one at a time. It was really stupid.
I swear, I want to go to where they're shooting one.
I'll start lighting up.
No. I want to bring my trusty ball bat.
Start smashing things.
That is what happens when you smoke.
Okay.
People die. You don't need a stupid song and dance number. Just throw the bat down. Truth.
Nice.
I would give most of my money to get that commercial financed.
And I am an anti-smoking Nazi. Trust me on this, but those commercials are awful.
Do you guys listen to Dennis Leary at all? Because he had this bit, I think it was on his Cure for Cancer stand-up, when he said that, like, smoking's always going to be around, and how you can put a tumor right on the package and call, like, the company Tumors, and people are still going to smoke. Like, nothing's going to stop people from smoking. People can quit on their own will. But then you got, like, the real hardcore smokers like Dennis Leary, and he's like, fuck it, if it's a cigarette, I'm smoking it. Like, they can put out as many stupid commercials as they want, but you're always going to have, like, the real hardcore smokers are going, so I don't give a fuck.
Well, Dennis Leary's thing came true, and this is an absolutely true story. There was many, many years ago, there was a local cigarette company called Death Cigarettes. Swear to God. Had the skull and crossbones on it and said, this product will kill you. Sold out. No joke.
People don't care.
I know.
I know. I can attest to that. My mom is living proof. She's smoked for the better part of, God, how old is she, 76? No, I'm kidding. 46. Yeah, she's 46. Smoked since she was 9, 10.
What?
I mean, in order to get her to quit, you might probably have to put a gun to her head.
See, she would smoke the tumors. People don't care.
Yeah. I mean, when you're young, it's easier to quit. But when you get older and more senile, it's kind of difficult. But, yeah, let me just reiterate. Truth commercials now, stupid as all hell. I would love to get one of the people who does a Truth commercial. Grab a picture of them smoking. Hey, TMZ, I got your next story. Truth commercial people smoke. Give me $10,000. Cha-ching.
I would love to see that actually happen.
I probably need to make an explanation. I know I should have opened the show with this, on why there was no show last week. We had financial problems at the house, and the cable bill did not get paid, and we have Comcast, so we have phone, internet, and cable TV run by them. And we couldn't pay the bill. So they had to go away for like about 4 or 5 days. I'm trying to find cheaper stuff, but two problems arise. One, not in our area. Or two, they have to wire the entire complex. I could go satellite, but we have to pay the landlord a $200 deposit.
Ouch. Oh,
man. That stings.
So, yeah, I'm stuck with good old Comcast. Anyways, I just had to get that off of my head. Trista, you saw the Ring of Honor show, did you not?
That is next Friday.
That is next Friday, the 25th.
6 days, because it's a Saturday, technically. Oh, my God, it's 6 days away. You have no idea how excited I am. This is part of my birthday gift from my parents. They bought my ticket back in May. But, yeah, it's going to be so exciting. I'm so giddy.
Yes.
Thinking about it.
You get to see my hero, Larry Sweeney, in person.
Probably get to meet him again, too. That's right. Again. I've already met him once. Super nice
cool.
guy. I love him. He signed my boob. No reason.
Larry Sweeney signed your boobs.
Well, not my boobs, but, like, I had a shirt. Like, it wasn't on because I split shirts, so I just gave him the shirt, and where he signed it would be where my right breasticle would go. So,
well,
yeah.
Good thing Kurt Angle's not here, because we all know what he'd say at a time like this.
Screw your boobs! We have a match! Let's go!
I'm a badass!
Alright, listen, guys. I'm going to drop off, so I'll talk to you guys next week, alright?
Actually, I'm about ready. It's about time that we sign off, too. Because otherwise, Blog Talk Radio is going to do that for us.
So, yeah, let's not do that like we did the other week.
Right. I really got to get this thing stretched to 90 minutes. Anyways, I'd like to thank you all for partaking. Trista, Forrest.
Wait. Before you go, did you get it clear that it was Rocha as Edge's and Vicky's wedding planner? Because it's not.
No, I did not. I do not know who it is. Rocha was just a good guess.
It was Victoria Crawford. She got signed the same time Kelly Kelly did. She's just been in development the last 2 years. So
Rocha was the woman Edge was basically shoving down the tongue down.
No, that was not her. That
it's Victoria
Crawford, a.k.a. Alicia Fox.
Okay.
Rocha hasn't been on TV since the Diva Search.
Okay. Thanks, Trista.
You're welcome.
Maybe Larry Sweeney next time will sign your left boob.
I hope so.
Oh,
I'll brag about it.
I fully expect to hear it in 2 weeks.
You totally will. You got my word on it.
Oh, by the way, Trista?
Yes?
You need to get another Tyler Black picture.
Another one? I don't even have a first one.
Well, get a first one. Nikki's got two up on you.
I'll beat her. Don't you worry. I'm going to have a competition with her. I'm throwing it down now. She'll hear this later, right? Nikki knows I love her, so it's okay.
I'll probably tell her when she calls the house in about 20 minutes.
Will you tell her? I'm going to mentally, this is my own competition, and she may join if she wants. But I will have more pictures of Tyler Black than her. Oodles.
Alrighty.
Love Trista. XOXO.
Take care of yourself, Trista.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye.
Alright, see you guys.
Take care, Jason.
Bye.
See ya.
Night.
Night, BRM. Night, Fourth.
Night.
This is me, Robert Seidelman, saying, listen, if you're booking a wrestling show, don't end it with attempted vehicular homicide. Good night.